Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, October 11th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter The Family Afterwards. We're on page 135, the last paragraph, paragraph 4, which begins with "We have three mottos" and ends with "Easy does it." Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marissa E., the 12 Traditions, Libby E. Reading the text today and of support is Kathy Jo P., Pia S., and Christine M. Thank you so much. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12027, 12,027, and that would be for Thursday, for Wednesday, October 10th. 2018. And then the share ID number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 11031, 12031. That would be for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting today, which is Thursday, October 11th. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting. Through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marissa E. to please read the 12 steps.
This is Marissa E. calling from near Los Angeles. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E. I will now ask Libby E. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Melanie. Do you hear me?
I do.
Libby E., recovered compulsive eater in New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. But we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study in the Big Book, in the chapter, The Family Afterwards, on page 135, paragraph 4, and that begins with, we have three little mottos, and ends with, easy does it. And I will ask Kathy Jo P. to read that short paragraph and make her comments there to open us up this morning. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning, my fellows of Overeaters Anonymous. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. We have three little mottos, which are apropos. Here they are. First things first, live and let live. Easy does it. Goodness gracious, there's a lot packed in this simple little paragraph. And I feel in many ways like I got a long way to go yet on this road to feel qualified to say, yeah, these are my mottos. To me, first things first means for me that my top number one priority is my abstinence, my spiritual connection with God, and my recovery. No matter what. Every single day, it's like I wake up and do the drill. And any time that I lose that spiritual connection, I need to immediately get back connected to God again, or I lose my power and I, don't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. I end up as, like, I'm thinking of like some kind of like, you know, Buzz Lightyear plugged in with a battery and he loses his power and he's on the ground sizzling up and dying. And that would be me to the disease. So I can't get distracted every single day. It's number one. And at the end of the day, I find out, did I keep it as number one? What do I need to do to get back having that as my top priority, period? Nothing else matters. Nothing. Live and Let Live, for me, talks a lot about tolerance and how, again, if I'm living and doing first things first, focusing on my recovery and my stuff, you can go do whatever you want over there, whether it's a family member, a work person, a relative, whatever. Everyone else can do whatever they want, and I need to be focusing on living this life that I've been so blessed with and doing my business and let everyone else do their business. And I'll tell you, that's probably where I need to clear up and come back to God, because I can still get activated by how other people are living and what they're doing and how I think they should be doing it differently. And then I got to come back and refocus and, you know, do my amends, etc. Easy does it. Well, first I'm going to say, when I came in, I was a hot mess. And I still can be a hot mess, where I can go ballistic over how many bananas we have left. And good God, or who threw a half a banana away in the garbage? So that is something that I am learning. I've shared on the line before, literally, it's an absolute miracle, but like three times people have said to me, "You're so calm." Only three times in the past 2.5 years. But these are people that knew I was not calm. I didn't take anything easy. So I'm taking that as a compliment as I move forward and learn how to not sweat the small stuff, let it go, keep my peace amidst the storm, which I realize is that's what we're working towards, is, you know, everything else can be chaotic, crazy, whatever, but I'm going to learn, whether it's the half a banana in the garbage or something humongous, how to show up at peace. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. We are on page 135, just getting ready to open up for others to share. Paragraph 4 on that page in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have three pertinent mottos, and reading to the end of the chapter. Who would like to comment on that very short, powerful piece?
Marissa E.
DJH.
TJ.
Kathy G.
Kathy G.
Kathleen Patty O.
T. Kathleen O.
Patty T.
Patty T. God, it sounds like. Okay, we have Marissa E., CJH, Kathy G., Kathleen O., and Patty T. Good morning to you again, Marissa.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Marissa E. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater calling from outside Los Angeles. And I just wanted to share, I just got with the Big Book Guide a couple weeks ago. And I had a training in Los Angeles. Like the second week I was working with her, and I was driving with a coworker, and we have our set call time. And I think we're on the second or third step, and I had timed it. I had timed it where we would get to our location before the call time, so I wouldn't have to call in the car in front of my coworker. And as it would happen, Los Angeles traffic is crazy, and so about 5 minutes before my call time, I was driving. And I told my coworker, who, she's a safe person, and I told her, I was like, I have to out myself. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm working with a sponsor, and I have a call in about 5 minutes. So I'm going to pull over. Can you drive as we continue on our way so I can do my step work? And she was very happy to help with that. And I read my steps aloud in my car to my sponsor with my coworker listening. And I feel like before, I've been in this program 8 years, and I've worked the steps a lot. It just really hasn't stuck, and that spiritual awakening has eluded me. And I feel like before, I would have shared that at meetings to get the accolades, to get the praise, you know, like, oh, you're such a good 12-stepper, Marissa, you're such a good girl. And I didn't feel compelled to share that. And I didn't feel like I needed to brag or boast about that in my meetings. It just felt like my God gave me the willingness to out myself, right, to humble myself in front of my coworker, and first things first. And I feel like before I might not have had the willingness. I might have texted whoever I was working with, like, hey, it's not going to work out today. And at the same time, I've been given the willingness. I've been given the gift of desperation. And, you know, I read it and it was like, it was nothing. Like there was no, my coworker didn't think I was crazy. And I was able to continue and to continue to build that relationship. And so I'm just really grateful for the willingness and the mottos, and that's it. So thank you.
Thanks, Marissa. That's Marissa E. CJH, you're next, and then Kathy G will come after you.
Thanks, Melanie. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Really grateful to be here in this little tiny paragraph, as it was said before. This is so small, but packs. I believe what's been shown to me and shared with me by others that these three little mottos really encompass what the whole program is about. First things first, really take care of steps 1 through 3, that I'm powerless over food, my life is unmanageable, that I have to come and believe that if I believe with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, right down in the gut of my being that first step is true, then I have to go to that second step, which is came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Ah, yes, okay, so there's a solution. And then the next step I have to take is I have to say, okay, I need this power. I make that decision that I'm going to turn my life and my will over, and I'm going to do these steps, the rest of them. And so for today, those first things first come for that for me. I'm told in the pages of the 11th step and the 10th step that, you know, on awakening, you know, I start this way. I ask God to direct my thinking. And what is my motive? You know, my motive is today to be God-centered. First things first. And this I can carry throughout my day. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I'm having crazy thoughts over the food, over what the situation is. And I take it to my God and I give it that third step. And then, you know, if the other steps are warranted because it's not going away or whatever, I can work them. And that's really, 4 through 9. I forgot what the second one was, and I don't have it in front of me. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, but it is 4 through 9. And that last one especially, live and let live, that for me is 10, 11, and 12. I, on a daily basis, I cannot have a happy, joyous, and free, I cannot have peace and serenity without those blessed steps. The prayer and meditation with my God to connect. Being able to work that 10 steps through the day as I become, in my humanness, become agitated or doubtful. You know, be able to follow those directions and then let my fellows live too, you know, and be a part of and not trying to control. To be able to step back and just say, you know, I'm not in charge here. I'm not in charge. I can let this life just go on and be what it is. And I can today fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. I can change plans. I can change food if I need to. I can move through this day with a sense of freedom and a sense of peace. And if I lose it, I can get right back in. So that the first one is first, you know, first things first, and live and let live. Those two really, really drive home for me what I need to be doing. And I need to just keep my nose on my face, stay in my hula hoop, and touch those three sides of the triangle, unity, service, and recovery each and every day. And oh my gosh, it's true. My life just gets better and better. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, CJ. That was CJH. Kathy G, you're next, and then Kathleen O will come after you. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, and thanks for your service today. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to all the newcomers. What a great page to be able to comment on. Grateful to be with you this morning and be able to share on this. I had an experience this morning with my husband that allowed me to put this into practice. So I always like to share practical things because it helps me when people share those from their own lives on the line. So my husband was packing for a trip this morning, and he has an issue with kind of taking care of himself by buying enough clothes and the right kind of clothes that he needs. And he's like down to this one pair of shorts, and he's going to Vegas with some work friends and needed these shorts and just was getting upset that he didn't have the right shorts. And, you know, I've learned enough to know that I did not jump in and nag like the wife that they were talking about it. But I did notice that when I got in the shower, I felt a heaviness and I felt kind of a resentment. And I just felt really sad and a little bit mad, to be honest, that my husband does not take care of himself and just like continues to complain about this, you know, really minor issue. And so I started doing a 10 step while I was in the shower, and I just went through the columns in my head. And so grateful for this tool, because when it comes down to it, I'm focusing on live and let live here. And what did it come down to? That I have a resentment because I am placing expectations on my husband for how he should live his life and, you know, how many clothes he should have, how he should maybe not be complaining, whatever. And I love that expression that expectations are premeditated resentments. So once I realized that this was just bogus, who the heck am I to be telling my husband what to do? And God forbid I would have to listen to the man, you know, just complain for a minute about the shorts. Wow, you know, it's like, get with the program, Kath. It's okay. Listen to your husband and show him love. How can I be of service to him today? What can I do? I can listen and not say, hey, babe, you know, maybe it's time to get new shorts. Because trust me, every time I've ever done this, it doesn't work. It says like the alcoholic was not ready to put down the coffee and the cigarettes. Well, maybe he's not ready to go there. So maybe I can practice a little patience today. So anyway, so grateful for these mottos, for tools to live and to see how, I love how the last person said, so I can keep my nose on my face. I love that. And in my own hula hoop. What great advice. So glad to be here with you today. Hope everyone has a great day. Bye, Beth.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me, Kathy G. Thank you very much. Kathleen, oh, it's your turn, and then Patty will come in after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for moderating this morning, and good morning, everyone on the line. Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California, currently.
There's quite a bit of wind on your end, just to let you know.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay.
So far, so good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's because I'm outside. I've been traveling with my husband for a couple weeks, and listening to husband's stories on the line, I can so relate. So, you know, first things first, I have to always put my program first. I have to put these principles and my higher power, which it's all immersed. It's all one big thing that I have to live and put first, because if I don't, I am going to have resentments, and my resentments start because I either want or think that someone should be doing something the way I think that they should be doing it. And, you know, I don't know that anyone on this line doesn't have someone in their life, whether it's a coworker, a spouse, family member, friends, where, you know, these thoughts will come up. It's like, you know, if they would just do this, their life would be fine. And I have to remember that I'm not God. I have to, you know, they have a path, and sometimes it's really hard to sit back and watch people walk their path, because as outsiders, and I'm sure people do this with me too, they've got all the solutions to my problems too if I just do it. And so it really is, I have to keep my program first. I have to, you know, keep my higher power with me at all times. And, you know, when I feel like if I get frustrated or whatever, where I'm thinking, you know, oh, this isn't going my way, I can just really like look up in the sky, because the sky is always beautiful. And just, you know, it's like, you know, what is easy does it, just live and let live. I mean, if I can get in that mode, get my head in that frame of mind, everything's going to be okay. And it does work out, because when I do it the other way, it never works out. So thank you so much. And it's been great. I've been able to listen to the meeting on my trip. Sometimes I have to do it a little covertly because my husband does like me on the phone with the program. So I've been able to make it happen. And I'm out with the dogs, and that's how I can share on this line. And I'm happy to be on this meeting with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. While we're calling up Patty T, I wanted to let you know that we are on page 135 in the big book. This is the finish of the chapter, The Family Afterward. We're on paragraph 4 to complete the study. It starts with, we have three little mottos, and ends with, easy does it. So paragraph 4 on page 135. Patty T, you're next, and then we're going to open it up for a few more people after you, Patty. Good morning.
Hi, everybody. This is Patty T from Southern California, and recovered today by the grace of God and this program. You know, yesterday, on yesterday's meeting, someone said, I'm reminded that I am a compulsive eater. No matter whether I'm with good people or good circumstances are bad. And that's something I need to remember. And that's really what first things first means to me. It stuck with me all day. I was like, oh, right, it's my responsibility to make sure that I recognize who I am. I may be powerless, but I'm not helpless. And I have a higher power that can restore me to sanity when that self-centered thinking or that self-seeking starts to take over. And I, you know, make that decision, you know, that decision to turn my thinking and my actions over to the God of my understanding. And then live and let live. It feeds right into that. I mean, what I just said feeds right into live and let live for me, because if I'm doing those things, then what other people do is their business, and I don't get involved. But if I'm not doing the first part, you can betcha I'll be right in there. I'll have my say and my opinion and everything, and the next thing I know, my life is totally unmanageable because I'm not paying attention to my food or my prayers or my program. And Easy Does It is so wonderful. That for me has really been a balm for the self-centered, self-seeking, and self-centeredness that I own as the compulsive addict. When I'm thinking, oh, I should have, and I could have, and why didn't I, and all of that stuff, you know, I've had sponsors say to me, easy does it, get off your own back, you know, it's not helpful. And that is such a terrific way to just give it back to God. Just to do that 10th step and give it back to God and connect with a fellow and rejoice that I am not eating compulsively today. I may be a compulsive overeater, but that doesn't mean that I have to act like one. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty T. The lines are now open for others to comment on that fourth paragraph on page 135. If you'd like to share, I'm ready to take down some more names.
Dorita P.
Danke.
Dorita and John.
Eileen M.
Susan A. Hi. Susan.
Randy B.
This is David on the last name.
And David, what was the first on the show, your last name?
Randy
B.
A.
Sherry K. B.
David A. I got you, Randy. Sherry K. B.
Jordan L.
Eileen.
I got you, Eileen. It's your same Eileen M. I got you right after John. You're in position 2. Okay. Great. Let's go with that lineup then. I have John K., Eileen M., Susan H. That's what I have. Randy B., David A., Sherry K.B., and Jordan L. Hey, John. Good morning to you. Wait a minute. Did I do Dorita P first, actually? So Eileen.
That's
third.
What I thought.
Let
okay.
Let me back up. Yeah. Let me back up. Numbering system is wonky. Hey, Dorita, my apologies. You're first and then John.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm. You betcha. Now you can.
Thank you. Thank you. That's okay. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P., recovered compulsive overeater in Cleveland, Ohio. I am real grateful to be here. I always say it's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, it's a lot to share on these three little mottos. First things first. Just give you an example of something that's first. My program and my connection with my higher power. So I'm just thinking I'm getting ready to take a trip. Our region assembly is coming up. I have to pack and we're eating out. It's a weekend trip, but we are driving. So, you know, when I take a road trip, I'm able to, control my food better because you can only take so much stuff in the airport. And so, you know, I'm packing and I'm making sure I bring the food that I need. I'll eat some things out, but some things, I need to bring. So that's first things first, you know. So even before I pack my clothes, I'm going to make sure I have what I need to eat because I can't mess around with that. And then live and let live. I heard the lady talk about tolerance. And it is for me about tolerance and, you know, not trying to control people or tell people what to do. Just focus on me. So when it's first things first and I'm focusing on me and my program, you know, I really don't have time. You know, working on me is a 24-hour-a-day job, so I don't have time to worry about what other people are doing. So I need to just let them do what they do and let them live. And then just the last one, first things first, live and let live, and easy does it. And what helps me with easy does it is humor. I went to a Joe and Charlie tape open AA meeting yesterday, and I'm going to make it a regular meeting of mine. And Joe and Charlie, they're kind of funny, you know, so I had a few laughs there. And I usually get more laughs at AA meetings than I do at my OA meetings. So, you know, I go to AA meetings really for that reason, because some of my OA meetings are kind of dead. So, you know, I like to have fun. So, and that's all I have, and I'll let other people share. Thank you for everybody sharing, and welcome to the newcomer. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you, Dorita P. It's your turn now, John K., and then Eileen, you'll come in after John. Hey, John. Good morning again.
Good morning, Melanie. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. I look at those three slogans, and I think about when I came into my first program, my priorities were absolutely all wrong. I mean, I used to joke I was living the reverse serenity prayer. You know, I was concerned and obsessed over things I couldn't change, and then I glossed over the things that I could change, you know. And, you know, my first sponsor really got me to see that, you know, what these slogans are trying to do is to help me work on the character defects that are sort of the subsidiary tentacles of my disease. You know, the primary one, it's about the obsession with the food and getting me into the food. But these subsidiary ones, these defects are what it will eventually drive me back into the food. And if I don't work on this, I'm cooked, you know. And first things first, you know, drama. I had so much drama when I came in. I sponsor newcomers. There's always so much drama. And you know, I was taught early on, I would be going through some drama, and my sponsor would say, okay, John, stop. And then he'd say, look down, where are your feet? Meaning, you know, my brain is going 1,000 miles an hour, it's projecting into the future, and I need to remember. And he also, you know, that whole idea of put the mask over your own mouth first. In other words, I need be taking care of myself, and I need to make my abstinence the most important thing, because if I don't, I'm going to lose it, you know. And live and let live, I was always getting into everybody else's business, you know. Most of the time, I think it was trying to be helpful and trying to give them my wonderful guidance, but then sometimes I was, you know, judging them over something they're doing. And, you know, I found out when I get out of other people's business, my life gets easier, you know. I quit playing God, as they say in the book. I think I can help or cure the world. And, you know, when I look at that judgment, you know, how many things in my life now I can look back at that I thought were wrong earlier in my life, now I think totally differently about. So who am I to say? I don't even know what's right for me. I certainly shouldn't think I know what's right for you. And plus, one of my favorite sayings in the big book is from Dr. Paul's acceptance chapter. It's the paragraph right after the acceptance paragraph we always read. And it says, when I criticize me or I criticize you, I'm criticizing God's handiwork. I'm saying I know better than God. In other words, whatever that person's doing, that's right what God wants them now. And it's not me to judge about that. And finally, on Easy Does It, you know, I hear that a lot more in AA, and, you know, we issue bumper stickers for it. But it's so important, you know, and I need to remember that I have to wear life like a loose garment. And as I always heard in another program I'm in, how important is it? And do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? And that talks about priorities. And today I have three main priorities: staying sober, staying abstinent, and staying serene. And these three things help me work on the serenity part. And as long as I got that, I have no need to go medicate myself with any substance. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. Eileen M., you're next, and then Susan H. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, New Hampshire. And I love these slogans. As everybody's been saying, you know, the first things first just reminds me that, you know, upon awakening, I've got to ask for help. And, you know, the first thing I've been doing is I thank my higher power for another day of life and another day of abstinence. And just, you know, starting out my prayer and meditation in the morning with that gratitude really makes a difference. And, you know, if I don't do that, if I don't start every day like that, my life becomes unmanageable very quickly in the morning. It's really amazing how out of control it can get and can seem. And the live and let live, that reminds me to keep the focus on myself and not on what other people are doing or not doing. Because, you know, like just this morning I was sitting here and I realized that my, you know, my brain was occupied by, I was judging somebody. And I thought, you know what, I asked for my higher power to help me to put down judgment, because that just gets me into so much trouble. And at first it keeps my mind on them and what, you know, and what they're doing, which is none of my business. And, you know, I don't even know what other people need. And, you know, my higher power, you know, it's my higher power's job to judge other people and not mine. And so live and let live reminds me of let go and let God, you know, is just, you know, letting God take things that are none of my business. And, you know, the Easy Does It is great. I tell myself that a lot because I have a tendency to get overwhelmed easily. You know, my thinking gets on in the morning, you know, I've got to do it all today. I've got to get it all done right now. You know, and when I start thinking that, you know, I'm starting to go into that unmanageable place. So Easy Does It is a real helpful one. So glad we're talking about this and have enjoyed everybody's share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Eileen. Susan H., you're next, and then Randy B. will be after you.
This is Susan H. in Colorado, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Unmute was a little awkward. So, yeah, these three slogans I really love. I have them up in my meditation room, and I look at them often. And what this tells me to me is just slowing down. And so often it's easy to be reactive and to make decisions and to drive my day through impulse and through will. And these three is what helps me be able to slow down and be able to live my life by the direction of my higher power. So the first things first lets me at first stop like mid whatever it is that I'm doing, and just take a minute to know what it is at that moment I need to do to not take care of the situation or to take care of others, but just to make sure that I'm stopped, I've reconnected. And, you know, sometimes that's, you know, going to a meeting, sometimes it's prayer, meditation, sometimes it's just taking a quick second where I close my eyes, depending on the situation. Live and let live is releasing everything else of everyone else's action around me so that I can be able to know what my part is and be able to sift through what is the rest of the world's the rest of the world to run versus what's my part to run and to give over to God. So that just kind of helps me get down to my one small piece that I need to contribute. And then it's time for action. And the third direction is easy does it. So I don't act within impulse. I do not act out of reaction. And one thing that really helped me when I first started was the advice, don't make a decision until you're at a place of peace. And that comes with, you know, making comments to others or saying something. If I'm not at a place of peace, just review back to instruction one, back to first things first, and then work with that place of peace. And easy does it is telling me I'm letting God drive my steering wheel and I'm not driving. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call this morning. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Susan H. Randy B., you're next, and then David A. will follow you. Randy B.
Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
This is Randy B., compulsive overeater in Washington State. I'm just so grateful for everyone on the line today. It's such a magical way for us to start our morning, and I'm just so grateful for that. So first things first, you know, what is first? And I think that's our recovery with God. And we need to know, we need to remember to put our own oxygen mask on before we help others put theirs on. You know, we need to help ourselves before we can help others. But, you know, we're going to be tested. There's going to be scenarios or people that will try to pull us away from our program. And whether that's just regular life disasters or other sick people that we have to deal with, you come first. And you need to remember this because, like I said, we can't help others if we're not helping ourselves. And then we have a live and let live. And to me, that really means to give up control. I need to give it up to God and it's not up to me. And I need to let others live no matter how annoying or aggravating or angering it may be, because it can be really hard to watch sometimes, especially with people that are close to us, because we're going to want to help. You know, we're going to have good intentions, but it's a fine line between helping and controlling. And you're kind of going to have to look to your higher power for clarity on what you're doing there. And then easy does it. This is just my absolute favorite line. You know, we're human, and human means making mistakes. And I think that's really a magical place to be because we have a chance to learn and grow. We have a chance to discover our higher power. And that's such a powerful thing to be able to do in this lifetime. And I'm really grateful not to know everything. I'm really grateful to have so much more that I still need to discover and learn. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Randy B. David A., your turn. And then after David, Sherry KB will come in. David, are you still with us?
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Hello. My name's David A. I'm from Kotzebue, Alaska. And I'm just thankful for a chance to call in this morning. Up here in the bush of Alaska, there's not a lot of meetings. And I came in from Anchorage, where we had plenty of meetings. So my sponsor suggested that I find some phone call meetings, and this was suggested by a fellow in program. The thing that really struck me, because with my today's prayer meditation and last night's too, it felt like my higher powers have put on me the idea of giving myself a break and not kicking myself in the butt all the time. I was in a pretty bad four-wheeler accident this weekend. And I've missed 3 days of work while I've been recovering. And I've been terrified of going back to work because I'm afraid everyone's going to think that I've been a slacker, even though my principal told me not to worry about it, even though my principal said, it's all good, take all the time you need, don't worry about it, nobody's judging you. I've still been convinced, because I'm living in everyone else's head instead of my own, that everyone's going to hate me and be mad at me. But it's just my higher power reminding me that live and let live, and just that, well, not live and let live, but to give myself a break. Easy does it. And so I'm really thankful that you guys had a meeting I could call into today, and I'm excited and looking forward to a day of absence and success.
Thanks so much, David.
That's it. Pass.
Glad to hear. Thanks. Sherry KB, and then Jordan will come in after you. It looks like we have 2.5 minutes each, if that'll work out for you.
Sure. Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And I love hearing everybody talk about the slogans, the mottos, the apropos that are apropos for us. These remind me of the steps. These are a very short, condensed version of the steps. Every morning I do turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power, as I understand him, and I do get on my knees and ask God to direct my day. And, you know, that's a great way to start my day and to meditate. If I meditate in the morning, that's the best thing. Best makes it the best day. And sometimes that doesn't happen, and I feel it in my day when I don't do it first thing. First things first. You know, for me, my higher power has to come first with my program, my abstinence, all of that. Live and let live reminds me that, I have to live with people around me and about me, and especially in my home, and I have to let them live their lives, and I need to live my own life. What it also reminds me of is many years ago, a sponsor said to me, you know, Sherry, when you've got everything figured out in your life, that's when you can start telling other people what to do. And I'll never forget that. That has stayed with me for years, because it's like, you know, it's going to take me lifetimes to figure my life out. So there's no way I should be sitting there telling other people what they need to do. So I need to live my program, live my life, and let them live their program, live their life. And easy does it. You know, for me, you know, being abstinent, happily and contently, doing this work, I see that how much more, there's so much more between my ears than there ever was about me with the food. And the more abstinent I stay, the longer I stay abstinent, the more I see how much my what was between my ears was so buried for so many years over the food. And so I do need, my disease will tell me I'm not doing it good enough in recovery. So I really have to be easy does it, you know, with myself and with others. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. Jordan L., you'll take us to the end of this sharing time and recorded portion. So welcome to you. You have 2.5 minutes, madam.
Good morning, Mel. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains where it's snowing. I love it when it starts snowing. That's funny. David read my mind. That's what I was thinking about. But first I want to say, like, when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, like, this was not about living a spiritual life. This was not about helping other people. Like, this was about, absolute and utter desperation. Like, I had gotten to the point where I was like, holy smokes, dude, I'm almost 30 years old, and I'm overweight and miserable, and seem to have no concept of how to live any sort of happy, useful, purposeful life. Like, that's where I was at when I got here, you know. Luckily, I was in a place where I was willing to see just how powerless I was over all of this. And from there, the rest of this program of action was presented to me in such a way that it was like, okay, Jordan, your life now depends on connecting with this higher power that you don't like very much, and helping other people. So presented with that, I'm now willing to having been presented with that and having worked this program for a year now, I'm now willing to see some other things that I wasn't necessarily willing to see before, right? Including like what's behind some of these apropos. like first things first, giving myself a break. I don't have to be perfect today. Like that's what the steps showed me. Is I don't have to live in this space of it's either perfect or it's not anymore. I get to live in like this gray ambiguous area where it's like it's okay. I'll wrap it up. It's okay if all I was able to accomplish today was like just being abstinent, you know. That's okay. That's a good day because I could not accomplish that a year ago. Live and let live, give others a break, and easy does it. I'm not superhuman. I don't need to save the world. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jordan. That's Jordan L. That does conclude the sharing portion of our meeting, and we're going to wrap this up, the recorded portion, with the Serenity Prayer and the reading of 164. And thank you to everyone that shared today. P.S., would you please read the closing for us, Day? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie. This is P.S. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Parkland in Florida. So our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.